Welcome to True Crime in the Low Country, where we explore the darkest corners of the region's criminal history. Join our host, Frank Santarella, and co-host, CC News proprietor, Jim Karsk, an investigative journalist, as well as accomplished author, as they explore the murder trial, also multiple cases that have gripped and shocked the nation. It's True Crime in the Low Country, and the truth is just around the corner.
Good morning. You're listening to WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio, broadcasting from Cottageville, South Carolina. And it is my pleasure to have a feature here with Mr. Jim Karsk of Crime and Karsk. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Crime and Karsk coming at you. How you doing, Frank?
All right. Hey, Jim, give me a plug on your, what do you call it, on your website.
Website? Yeah, check it out. We have got, this thing has been growing like crazy. If you're looking for news on South Carolina, and I'm telling you, just South Carolina, I've got a little bit on Tennessee, a little bit of Georgia, maybe a little bit of Texas, but if you want South Carolina news, especially Low Country, I'm literally sitting here working on a story about Hampton County drug bust this morning. So crimeandkarsk.com or ccnewsnetwork.com. Get all your news fed to you right there, anytime you want.
You mean they have drugs in Hampton County?
Oh my Lord, do they have drugs in Hampton County?
Oh, Jim.
They just arrested the sheriff, the Hampton County sheriff. I'm mid into this story, but so you're getting the story before it's printed. The arrest made in rural collapse of the Low Country is a guy by the name of Dale Stanley, Victor Folk, Brian Cruz, and Alan Struther. These people are all innocent, of course, until proven guilty by a court of law, but they were arrested for various things, for possession of controlled substances, cocaine, methamphetamine, and with a firearm, illegal possession of a convicted felon, possession of meth, on an outstanding warrant, trafficking marijuana, methamphetamine. So, again, innocent until proven guilty, but that's a lot of drugs.
And who took them down, the locals or SLED?
Hampton County.
Oh, the county. Yeah. Whoa. Hey, whoa. My buddy is the sheriff of Jasper County. Oh, my. All right.
And listen, this is just like a week or two, not even, after they found, this was in Hampton County again, there was a drug bust they found where they had methamphetamines and they had a live grenade.
You know what
a grenade is, friend?
Yeah. You're talking a hand grenade?
Hand grenade. They found a hand grenade along with all these drugs.
So much for laws. I mean, there's laws against having hand grenades.
Yeah, you would think. Where does one buy a hand grenade?
Let me tell you some crazy stuff. And
let's hear it.
Jim. Jim, we send a load of stuff over to the Ukraine. All right? And a load of...
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Here we go. I'm buckling up. Let's hear it. Yeah.
Well, stuff goes over to the Ukraine. Some of it is sold on the black market, all right, to generate cash. Yeah. Some of it comes back into Mexico. You know, Brian, what was his name? Truth, the guy that was attempted to shoot Trump down at Mar-a-Lago at the golf course?
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, when he was in the Ukraine, he was trying to buy surface-to-air missiles.
All right.
Now, listen, handhelds, these things are pretty high-tech. These aren't like your RPGs that you see, you know, these terrorists running around with these RPGs off their shoulder. These surface-to-air missiles, they're pretty sophisticated, and they have all kinds of various type of of homing devices. But anyway, they're looking at that now. Now, the other thing is, I have on reliable sources that two surface-to-air missiles they caught coming across the southern border. All right? One I know for sure, and there was rumored that there was a second one that nobody talked about. But, hey, man, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's stuff that we make here. And then we give to our allies.
We're the number one military industrial complex in the world.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I lived at one point. If I went out my back door and hung a hard left, it would be 6 miles through the woods to Picatinny Arsenal. Picatinny Arsenal is an R&D military base. And if you walk on that base, you will see all kinds. Because, I had my 70th birthday party on that base.
You're not 70. So.
Yeah. I had my birthday party on that base. And, was it my 70th? No, I had my 60th birthday party on that base. I had my 70th.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I had my 70th birthday party in Georgia. But anyway, if you walk on that base, you will see uniforms from all our allies, all right? You will see maple leaves. You will see German flags. You will see Israeli flags all on these uniforms because we bring all kinds of people from all over the world there to train. All right? And they were the developer of the Mark 25 grenade launcher. Mark 25 grenade launcher. I think every time you throw one of these things out there, it's like, I know the launcher is about 30 or 50 grand, but every time you throw one of these things out there, I think it's probably 5 or 10 grand. But they're really, really cool. I mean, the cool factor is worth the money. I mean, they're programmable. So let's say you have a building with a window, all right? And you wanna airburst this grenade in front of the window. Well, mm-hmm. You program it. If you want it to detonate on the other side of the window, you program it. If you want it to program on impact, you program it. So these things
are
all.
How about they program one with Putin face? How about that?
What's that?
How about they program one with Putin face on it?
Oh, go on. Yeah, listen. Don't get me started on Putin. Don't get me started on Putin. Everybody needs a boogeyman. There always has to be a boogeyman. You just remember one thing. Without a boogeyman, there is no reason to have Boeing, Martin Marietta, General Dynamics. There is no reason to have all these military contractors without a boogeyman. So you always need a boogeyman. Whether that boogeyman is a real boogeyman, whether he's a fabricated boogeyman, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's generating revenue, it's stock prices, it's the GDP. So,
well, listen, back to the boogeyman here in South Carolina. These four guys that got arrested by Hampton County Sheriff's Department. It's literally just, it's the tip of the iceberg, Frank. Every day I'm getting something. I mean, you know, I told you about the grenade, which we...
that's what you call it. You know, you can own a grenade. You can own a grenade. Only thing is you have to have a tax stamp. All right? But wait a minute. I mean, I have silencers that have tax stamps, all right? And I paid for the tax stamp and I use that silencer over and over and over again. If you buy a grenade and you have a tax stamp on it, what happens when you use it? The tax stamp is still there. Now you have a tax stamp and no grenade. Anyway, so they found a grenade. Tell me, what else did they find?
Oh, my God. Florence County. In Florence County, they found 6 pounds of fentanyl. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but if you know what fentanyl is...
Where is this? Fentanyl. Where is this, Jim? What county?
Florence County.
Florence County.
$3 million worth of fentanyl seized. It was a North Carolina man. He was on I-95, which I go back to stories that we've told on this radio station about the I-95 corridor, and I believe a tremendous amount of drugs are coming in from the St. Helena Island area, Beaufort County. And I'm sorry, Beaufort County, but there's too much smoke not to be fire. And there's a lot of it coming in there because you can get from the water in Beaufort County, you can get from the water to a road within minutes. And then within 15 minutes, you're on I-95 and it's gone. Unfortunately, the makeup of that city is such that it makes for a lot of drugs coming in inbound. And fentanyl is a bad drug. I mean, in 2023, we had 2,000 South Carolinians die from opioid-related overdoses. And fentanyl was responsible for 75% of those deaths. So,
Jim, 5 pounds of fentanyl would probably wipe out a good part of the state.
Yeah, it's an awful drug. And in Chester County, little Chester County, they had the largest drug bust in Chester County history. They seized $91,000 in cash from this guy, 17 guns, and 4 pounds of fentanyl in a rural drug raid. So it's not like it's hiding in Charlotte, North Carolina, but I'm sure it is. Or in Columbia or in Greenville in these big cities. It is rampant in the small towns, in the Lowcountry, all over the place.
I mean, traditionally, rural America was the producer of what do you call it? Meth. All right? I mean, you know, look, we all seen Breaking Bad, right? That was really the thing. Now, I got to tell you how rampant this was, and it's nothing new, and I'm talking 15, 20 years ago. I have a brother that's in small business, and he was looking for a industrial building to buy, and he was looking in rural parts of Georgia, and son of a gun, when they were looking at buildings, they had to make sure that there wasn't a meth lab around. Believe it or not. Or that the building hadn't previously been used as a meth lab. All right?
Yeah. I mean, I hate turning everything back to Murdaugh, but, you know, Murdaugh Island, that one that he owns with Barrett Boulware, is right off the coast of Beaufort County, St. Helena Island.
Let me tell you something. St. Helena's Island, I have friends, or let's rephrase that. Acquaintances, because I can't call them friends, because they kind of like wasted their lives, you know, with drugs. And I mean, I know one of them escaped that life, but I watched one, a professional guy. All right. He was a really, really good software engineer. And man, he just blew his life away. All right. With drugs. I mean, he actually called me and because he, what do you call it? His girlfriend at the time was on a drug run and smashed up his truck. And here's a guy that had a house on the water down in St. Helena's Island, went from having a house on the water, coming out of a divorce, he owned the house free and clear, blah, 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 all this stuff, to,
yeah.
Hey, Frank, I need a couple bucks. She smacked up my truck. All right? Wow. Wow. And over a matter, and I'm talking over a matter of 3-4 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, drugs don't care who you are.
Yeah. And it's sad. And that's on St. Helena's Island. And I got to tell you who's involved to a, and I hate to say this, and I really, if I, and without me mentioning names, which I would never do, it's only speculation. They have a very large Gula population down there on St. Helena's. And, Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they're involved in the trafficking.
I just did a story on the Gullah people, so to speak. It was actually a friend of mine lives in Minnesota. This is kind of an offshoot here, but she was adopted. She's mixed race and found her father lived in Sumter, African-American guy lived in Sumter. And I've been helping her trace her lineage back. So far, I've got it back on her dad's side to a couple of slaves. We've been dating back to 1815 and 1818.
Wow.
Down in the, there's an area down in the Lowcountry called Britain's Neck. It's over by Gresham. It's in Marion County. And there's a little area right there, and I think I found that the last plantation name was Davis, the Davis Plantation. And I have traced her lineage back to here. But she is she thought they were from a Gullah people, which, you know, were basically coming in from Ghana in Africa. Excuse me. So funny you say that, but I just did an article on that, and I'm doing a follow-up. I'm going to be going down and trying to find this plantation.
Wow. Wow. All right.
And a lot of these plantations are still there. You know, these houses were built like, they were built to last back in the day.
I'm going to make you laugh. I run into somebody from time to time that bought a plantation. They bought a plantation. All right, I bought a plantation. How big is the plantation? 2.5 acres. What they did was they cut up these plantations, some of them, and just left the big house on a couple of acres, and the rest of it they sold off. They sold off a development or off something else. And what used to be hundreds of acres of plantation is now, the plantation is 2.5 acres. So that's I find that really amusing that people actually call it a plantation when plantation to me means, you know, roaming acreage.
Right.
You know, but anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this family actually had some land, you know, because after the Civil War, I think the United States enacted some sort of a law that plantation owners then had to pay their former slaves. But the way they did it was they would give them room and board, and then they would work the fields and the crops. And then once the whatever it was, rice or cotton or whatever it was, went to market and they were paid, then they were paid out of that. And then they kept Union troops around to make sure that these guys were getting paid. But they also ended up giving them, land to have, and this land has been kept in families for a couple of generations now. They still have, I don't know, 10 acres or something like that down there, so I'm going to go see that. And I think I'm pronouncing this wrong. Sedentary is a town in South Carolina. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. A lot of her kinfolk are buried there. So a lot of history in South Carolina, which leads me to my next thing, is that I'm going to start a new series at CC News Network on small towns in South Carolina. And I'm doing my first one tomorrow I'm driving to Bishopville and meeting with the mayor down there at Bishopville. And so that'll be good. I'm going to start talking to a lot of these small towns in South Carolina because, you know, it's not always Greenville and Columbia and Charleston. It's a lot of small towns in this state.
Well,
and they all have a lot of history. They all have a lot of good people that live there, a lot of cool things going on. So I just don't think it's talked about enough. So
well, I got to tell you, small towns, the small towns now that I see are not economically thriving. And I think that's putting it gently. I don't know about Bishopville, but a lot of these towns in the 50s and 60s were economic powerhouses. And
well, even before that, because there was, a lot of it was due to farming, and that farming has just kind of dried up.
Yeah,
corporate farming. It's not local farmers anymore.
And the other thing we had here was mills, textile mills, you know, and the textile mills are gone. So, a lot of these towns right now are falling on hard times. I live in the sixth congressional district, and that's that's the only way I can describe the geographic area. I'm not going to really make a political statement, but this sixth congressional district is called the Corridor of Shame because of the economic. The economic condition and the actual poor economic condition of this area. Now, there is a revitalization going on, and it's in process, and there's a lot of building and a significant amount of housing. But yeah, these small towns they're on the cusp. A lot of them are on the cusp of regentrification. So that'll be very interesting, you looking at that.
I think you'll, most people know Bishopville because it's in Lee County. The Lee Correctional Institute prison is there.
A federal prison?
In the state.
Oh, state. Because Estelle is, I think it's Hampton County. I'm not sure. I'd have to look. But there's a federal penitentiary in Estelle. As a matter of fact, a fellow that I run into and I deal with from time to time, Clarence Wiggins, he's the chairman of the Democratic Party in Carlton County here, and he was a corrections officer that retired from Estelle, and it's a pretty big federal penitentiary, and really salt of the earth kind of guy, and That brings a lot of industry. Believe it or not, it's very close to Georgia, so a lot of folks live on the Georgia side too, and work there. But yeah,
I'll tell you a story about Estelle off air, but it's quite shocking.
What, Estelle? Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you could tell me shocking stories about Estelle because. My daughter works for the Federal Department of Corrections, and she was thinking of transferring to Estelle, and probably some of the stories you're going to tell me are related to that, because she didn't transfer, by the way. But
Yeah.
So what else is going on at CC News, man?
What isn't going on? I mean, you know, We just had the Gamecocks, just women's basketball, just went to their, just won their third straight SEC title, went to the national championship, and then they got the butts beat by UConn. But I'm covering so many different things right now, Frank. I started covering the Karen Reed trial, which is up in Boston. I'm following that. That is going to start here very soon. They just got the jury is seated now. You got 9 men, 9 women. And the biggest thing I think I'm following down here is just so much murder and corruption. Like I did, especially with murder, I did 2 stories yesterday, actually Monday, on shootouts with police. One was in Cherokee County. It was a standoff with police there where a guy was just shooting at the cops. And I'm like, what is going on? What is wrong with people? And then there was another one. I don't know. I've never heard of this town. It's called Central South Carolina.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Central. There was a 12-hour shootout, standoff shootout with cops there. The amount of shootings in this state is on the rise.
Cherokee is South Carolina?
Cherokee County.
Oh, Cherokee County. Okay.
I mean, so I get on this newswire, right? And I'm looking, and this is just South Carolina today. What came across my newswire today? This is reading the headlines, and it's really overwhelming sometimes. This is Greenville, teens charged with murder in a teen church parking lot. That's one. Man convicted of murder confesses to family stabbing missing woman. That's in Greenville County. Let's see. Convicted South Carolina murderer confesses to stabbing missing woman to death. This is near Charlotte. Charlotte family wants teen murder suspect tried as an adult. Dorchester County. Deputies make arrest and deadly shooting. Suspect wanted for murder in South Carolina, arrested in Raleigh. I mean, it is every day in South Carolina. And, you know, listen, I'm all for Second Amendment, but there's some people who shouldn't put one of those things in their hands because you don't know what they're going
to... Yeah, but then you're going to restrict them from kitchen knives and cars? You know,
I get it.
You know, that's.
I don't know if there's an answer to it, but all I know is that.
There is an answer, Jim. There is an answer. Put prayer back in school. Let the Ten Commandments hang in the courthouse. I mean, you know, make sure fathers are in the home. Where else you want to go with this? It's a corrupt, it's a morally bankrupt society that has no respect at all for life. So,
none. You're right.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And listen, that's why I choose to live in the country. You know, I'm out in the country. It's about a month now. I had to drive up to Philadelphia to pick up some radio equipment. I tell you what, you know, we're pretty much a fledgling radio station, so we buy some used radio equipment, and Dave is a master of buying stuff at auction. You know, he buys stuff
Do you think Ted Turner bought brand new cameras when he started?
No, yeah, I got to tell you something crazy. I can tell you. But anyway, I was up in Philadelphia, and you think South Carolina is a pit? Philadelphia, man, was crazy. Anyway, Ted Turner. I was with Miss Janice Blocker the other day. Oh my God, Miss Janice is in her late 70s, and she's a school teacher, and she's still teaching. And I was at a political event with her, and we had to take a ride in the car, so we were in the car together for 45 minutes, an hour, or something like that. And she was telling me, she taught Ted Turner's children. She taught Ted Turner's children, because Ted Turner lived here in Carlton County. He had a big plantation. Yeah, he had a big plantation in Carlton County, and he lived here, and he used to fly in and out of Walterboro Airport, and he brought his kids up. He had two boys that I know of. He brought his kids up with an incredibly conservative and fiscally conservative values. He did not spoil them. He did not give them everything they wanted. They had to work for what they wanted. He did a fine job with these kids from what she told me. Anyway, she went to the wedding. Ted Turner married Jane Fonda.
Oh, okay.
All right. And yeah. unfortunately, Ted Turner is right now is afflicted with a severe, and it might be the end stage cases of Alzheimer's.
Stay with us on True Crime in the Lowcountry. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. Don't go away.